and they hope that in service to God, they would, you know, I do believe these guys, a lot of them, don't get into it cynically, like thinking, I'll become a priest and everyone will trust me. I don't think that's necessarily what they do. I know, because you know why? I've wrestled with a lot of sexual sins, sexual desires, and I thought maybe I should become a priest. I did used to think that. There are people who thought I went into the priesthood. But I am married, the husband of one wife, 6 children. Still too young for you to judge me. But you know, I had the same thought, and that's why I look at them that way, because that's the way I thought of it. I thought, I mean, I'll go into the priesthood and get away from sex. But that is not a, that is a Hagar solution. And what I mean is that's when man tries to get the outcome God has promised by his own means. God promised Abraham a son. So Sarah says, here, take my maiden, lay with her. And that'll be the son God promised. But that was not the son God promised. God promised that he would have a son by Sarah. But she looked at her barrenness and she wanted to provide Abraham with a son, you know. And so she thought, I'll give him my handmaid. But that's an allegory, see. For us. But Abraham believed God and was counted to him for righteousness. So even though in the process of time he did lay with his wife's servant girl, God still delivered his promise. And that was not to be the chosen seed. And the righteousness I have is not the righteousness I tried to obtain by my own means, but is the righteousness which God has given me by his divine power. Forbidding to marry, to abstain from meats. Do you know that until like about, I don't know, what, 50 years ago? Most Catholics remember, who are older, it used to be mortal sin to eat meat on Friday. Forbidding to eat meats. Why would they do that? To fulfill the scriptures. It's funny. Jesus said, call no man your father upon the earth. And what do people call priests? Father. Why do they do that? To fulfill scripture. They are fulfilling the word of God. I wouldn't stop them. They're supposed to do that. You gotta understand. Now, it's to their detriment. And God knows they've been told. And they even know. But how could they can't stop? Because it's something, it's beyond their control. It's beyond their free will to choose. It's what they do. You can't. These are things governed by powers, principalities, the rulers of the darkness of this world, things beyond the control of mere men, or what man wants or wills or would do. Now, there are changes that come about, and those are through other powers that God brings in. And that's the thing, is that some people aren't very wise, and they look at predestination, they try to think of everything as being set in stone. The way it is right now. And I say, you're being foolish. Because the way things are now are just the way they are for now. But you understand that the plan of God is that things are going to be different as time goes on. I mean, they think that, okay, the status quo is what God's will is. And they think God's will is that the status quo remain. What if it's God's will that there be a revolution? Well, they think that's all free will. Because of the vanity of man. And honestly, I'm thinking of people who argue with me. I don't have time for you. You need to be instructed. You don't need to instruct me. That's not arrogant. It's just the truth. You have when those thoughts come into people, you need to be taught. And if you cannot put your mind in a state in which you are teachable, please go away. I have nothing for you. Until your mind is... See, that's the hardness of your heart. And the fact that if God doesn't soften your heart up, you won't ever change. And it's, you know... Hey, but he does change people. Look at Paul. I mean, look at Paul was predestined to be a Pharisee and to do all those things. And he was also predestined to meet Jesus on the road to Damascus. Because God had chosen him from his womb. From his mother's womb, sorry. To be an apostle. But no one could see that coming. No one on earth. That's why the churches were shocked. That he who once persecuted us is now preaching the gospel he once tried to snuff out. Oh, you know. They praised God, but I mean, they were astounded. You know, it's astonishing. Because man can't see what God's plan is in the future. Except by what he reveals for prophecy. And what I mean also for an individual. You know, one man could look to be a certain way, and then God totally turns it around. That's why that's part of the meaning of the parable of the tares. Don't pull them up before they're finished growing. Because you may accidentally pull up wheat thinking it's a tare. Because sometimes in human nature, people appear to be something that God has not intended that they should become. But it is only something that they, for the time being, are supposed to be in. And it's part of the work. See, because what Paul was in, it was part of the work. So he had this great testimony. Hey, I used to persecute the church. So makes Paul, the fact that Paul was against the church makes his testimony powerful. That was also part of his destiny. It wasn't like against his destiny that he was a Pharisee and against the church. That was all part of it. Now in verse 3, a lot of people who still forbid people to eat meats, which God has created to be received, they'll say, oh, no, no, there's nothing wrong with forbidding people to eat pork because pork was not created to be received with thanksgiving. It's like pork was not created to be eaten. That was concerning the law that God gave Israel in this particular nation of the Jews, who were supposed to stand out as a peculiar nation. He didn't ask them to have pure consciences or pure hearts. He asked them to do a lot of outward things. He asked them to wear little boxes on their heads and put the scriptures inside. Now, I have the scriptures inside my head, too. But I don't put it on a box on the top of my head, you know? They told them to wear special clothing. In which fringes on the garments and not of two fabrics, you know, only one, you know, just either cotton or whatever, but no mingling fabrics, right? No 50% cotton, 50% rayon. And I also have an unmingled garment. It is pure righteousness. He's got to put that on me, but that's the garment I have to wear, right? I have to wear to be of Christ. I have to wear that garment. Pure white, not mingled with anything else. Or pure black, black as sackcloth of hair. Those, take that with understanding. Unspotted, pure black. I speak in the spirit. So, you know, they also had all these other things they had to adhere to. The kind of, I look at,